Folks, if you enjoy our guidance about the management trinity, getting to know your people, talking about performance, asking for more, pushing work down, and our tools are helpful, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. The ideal way to learn about implementing them is to come to one of our effective manager conferences. One day, we cover all of the major topics. You practice feedback, you practice coaching, you practice delegation. I can't tell you the number of times people have said to us, wow, I thought I understood the tools. And then when I had to practice, I realized I've taken it to another level. Come to the website, check out our conference schedule, see us all over the U.S. and in Europe and in Asia and in Australia. See you there.
Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, feedback. Now, folks, if you listen to our feedback cast before and this sounds different, it is. Don't be confused. Mark and I decided recently that we were going to re-record some of our basics cast, incorporating some of the learnings we've had over the past several years. So, like you, we continue to learn and want you to get the benefit of those learnings as well. So, here we go with our new set of feedback cast, part one.
I'm glad we're getting a chance to talk about feedback, Mark. I think for a lot of managers, feedback is one of the most challenging things they run into, right? I think most people know, as a manager, somebody responsible for somebody else's performance, that they should. We don't use that term often, but they feel like they should give feedback to folks, right? But they just have lots of hangups about it. They know they need, they're responsible for folks' performance. They see something bad. Typically, folks are thinking feedback about poor performance. And as we'll talk about today, that's not true. It's just as important to give feedback about positive performance. But I'm addressing people's hangups right now. So the hangup is around negative performance, typically. And so they see it, but you know, they care about their folks. And then they get all these like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to put them down.
Oh, yeah.
I care about them. I don't want to demotivate them. And so they don't do it. Then there's people, on their hand, that, you know, typically high Ds, you're familiar with the disc model, the kind of aggressive, you know, folks who absolutely, they don't care, right? They'll tell you you're screwing up in a heartbeat. The problem is they do it in a manner that's not terribly effective. It makes them feel good.
Yeah, it's not effective.
It gets the stuff off their mind, but it's not effective. And so what we're going to talk about today is something, it sounds like a bad kitchen cleaning product commercial, but something that's safe and effective, right? Safe in the sense that it's emotionally neutral, at least, in the sense of not hurting people's feelings, and effective in that it actually works.
Yeah. It works like a charm. And you know, we do this at conferences. We stand up in front of everybody and we say, okay, how many of you are doing one-on-ones? And, you know, probably 75% are doing one-on-ones. Now, sometimes the number goes down to half when we say every week with everybody. But regardless, the majority of people start doing one-on-ones, and most people who are doing one-on-ones will say, I'm never not doing this. This is too important. I love it. Okay. I fought through my direct's concerns and now it's part of how I manage and that's just the way it is. Get to feedback, though. We ask how many people are doing it, and the number's much lower, like 25%. Mm-hmm. That's where the compliance, if you will, falls off. And I try to remind people when we talk about our guidance, we believe that all of our guidance is actionable. And more specifically than that, when you combine that with Horstmann's ninth law, embrace reality, we don't recommend actions that are simply good to do or should to do's that in fact are impossible for the average manager. We just don't do it. We're not going to say to you, you need to have a good global view of your company. If you're a frontline manager, it's just probably not going to happen. We don't say every manager, you know, you read these books, every manager should be an inspirational speaker. No, that's not true. It's just not true. And I think it's very demotivational if you think of yourself as a non-inspirational speaker to be told, and you're a manager to be told, you should be. It's like there's a curse associated with that. Wow, I should and I'm not. I guess I'm stinky. I'm really bad at this job. So the feedback model is one of those things that people don't use. And yet it is so important and everyone can do it. They try it at the conference. They love it. And I think it just points out how bad management guidance is that It's never talked about. Now, I'm sorry, that's wrong. It is talked about, but it's talked about in the worst possible terms. First of all, some management thinkers say, yeah, interview. You ask them about feedback and they say, sure, you needed to give your people feedback. Well, how? You know, you need to talk to them. Well, how? Well, you know, certainly the sooner the better. Well, with what? And they don't have any good answer for specifics. So the feedback model exists to make it easier for managers to talk to their directs about the directs' performance. Okay. Now, it's different from one-on-ones. One-on-ones were created for the direct to have a better relationship with you, the manager. The feedback model was created for you, the manager. And the reason why is because when we ask conference groups and clients and so on, hey, how many of you, provided your boss did it professionally and politely, right? No yelling or screaming. How many of you would be more interested in hearing more often how you're doing, even regularly, daily or a couple times weekly or something like that? Would you like to know more about what's going on? Every flipping hand in the room goes up. They all want it. They all do. And I joke, I say, well, that's good because that's what your directs told us. And the point about that is most managers' directs are not that much different than their managers. And so therefore, they don't realize it. They say, well, I could take it, but I'm not sure I can give it to my directs. And when you ask them, do you think your directs could take it? Forget the fact that you would give it. Do you think your directs could take it? They all say, oh, yeah. And when they pause, I say, remember, you used to probably be one of your directs. Oh, yeah. When I started my career, I was hungry for information. I really wanted it. So here we are talking to these people who act as if getting more feedback is so good, so wonderful, so helpful, so effective. And then they say, yeah, but I'm not giving it to my directs. And you say, well, have your directs specifically said, I don't want it? You say, no. Whenever I give them feedback, even if it's not in the model, and whenever I tell them what they're doing, good or bad, they seem to be okay with it. There's a rare exception. Somebody who's really insecure, you know, barks at them or whatever. But for the most part, they know their directs want it. But they also admit they're not giving it.
Yeah. Well, what kills me is the people who say, well, I don't want to hurt my folks' feelings, right? So I care about them so much that I'm going to withhold this truth. It's like, well, let's say you're not perfect, right? So you're doing something wrong that's impacting your performance, that's impacting your ability to deliver results, and therefore impacting your career. Would you want your boss who cares about you to withhold that information with you and therefore slow down your progress, slow your ability to grow and to learn and to get promoted? I mean, really? That's how a caring person treats their folks? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, exactly. So the feedback model was created for you to make it easier for you, manager, to talk to your directs about their performance. The simple fact of the matter is that your job is to achieve results. That's your first responsibility as a manager. We all know that. And results are nothing more than the sum total, the aggregated behaviors of all of your directs and you. So what we need to do is talk to our directs about their behavior. And we'll describe behavior in more detail here in just a minute. All right. If there were one picture that I could draw that I would say this is the most important picture, and of course, those of you with individual licenses will be able to review in your show notes the picture. But if there's one picture that I draw at conferences that people write down and say, oh, that was the aha moment, it is a picture of the difference between ineffective and effective managers when it comes to feedback model. Now, I know we're doing a long preamble here after a fashion in terms of the feedback model. So let me just tell you now what the feedback model is. And so that if you've never heard us say it before, let us tell you it now. It's as simple as saying, if Mike works for me and I'm his manager, I say to him, hey, Mike, can I give some feedback? I ask him first and we'll explain that in a minute. And Mike says, yeah. And I go, hey, when you do X, here's what happens. And if it's good feedback, I say, thank you. And if it's negative feedback, I say, can you do that differently? That's all. It's literally that long. So let's say Mike is one of my guys who recently sent me his budget a couple of days in advance. You know, most people wait until the deadline. And so I say to him, we're in our one-on-one a day later, or maybe forget the one-on-one. I see him in the hallway. I say, hey, can I give some feedback? And he says, sure. I say, when you give me your budget a couple of days early, it lets me look at it before the deadline. Thanks a lot. That's it, folks. That is the manager tools feedback model. And by the way, let's suppose Mike's late. Let me show you the manager tools feedback model. Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback? When you're late with your budget stuff, it slows us down. Can you get it to me on time next week? Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Yeah, and folks, just to be clear here, these are not illustrative examples here where he's trying to cut it short because we're doing a podcast. They're no longer than what he just did.
That's it. Yeah, I just had a one-on-one with Wendy, and I gave her some positive feedback during the one-on-one. It took 2 seconds. Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah. And a lot of managers say to us, by the way, I don't like talking to people about their performance because they want to push back. They want to explain to me why they did it, or they want to argue with me. Well, we're not going to argue. We're not going to argue. I'm saying it happened, and this is the outcome. And in fact, there's a cast available called Shot Across the Bow that tells you what to do when your directs get all pushy and act as if you're picking on them, when in fact, all you've done is spent 3 seconds pointing out when it's negative feedback, because they generally don't push back with positive feedback. But if you give them negative feedback and they push back, all you've done is say you did something and there's an outcome that's not as good. I'm not threatening you. I'm not saying you're bad. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not attacking you personally. Although some high C's will probably say, you attack my work, you attack me, which is false. Okay. Your work is not you, folks. There's no one in the world for whom their work is them. You may feel that way, but that doesn't make it so. Your work exists outside of you. Okay. All right. So the picture I draw basically shows the difference between ineffective managers and effective managers when it comes to talking to their directs about their performance, which is talking about their behavior, which is, in the manager tools way, the feedback model. The average and poor manager, the big mistake they make is they focus on the mistake or the success. Their focus is on what happened. Let's say right now it's noon and Mike did something this morning at 9 o'clock. Good or bad, doesn't matter. The typical manager, which is to say the one who's does a poor job, and that's true for the vast majority of us as managers, we do a poor job at talking to our directs about their performance. And by poor, I mean we're ineffective in terms of the frequency or the value of the feedback in terms of what it's supposed to achieve, okay? The average or poor manager, the typical manager, makes the mistake at noon of noticing, maybe he noticed it in passing, he got a report, or got an email, observed it in a meeting, whatever the case, that at noon, when I am going to talk to Mike about his performance, my focus is on what he did this morning. And if that's your natural tendency, folks, you're going to be wrong almost all the time talking to your folks about performance. Now, you might be saying to yourself, wait a minute, Mark, that doesn't make sense. How can that possibly make sense? Mike made a mistake this morning. Why wouldn't the focus be on this morning? And in a sense, you're right. I'm not saying we're not going to mention what Mike did, but that's not the focus or the purpose of talking to your directs about their performance. And the simplest way I can put it is this. 9 o'clock in the morning, Mike makes a mistake. And I realize it's been a couple hours. And so it would be worthwhile to mention it to him, because sometime in the next month or quarter or week or day, this same situation is going to come up. And I want him to know there's a better way to do it. Or I want him to not do it with the mistake he made this morning. He's late to a meeting. I mean, it's a stupid thing, but late to a meeting. The question I have for you, if your focus is on the morning, is what words can you say? How creatively, effectively, loudly, damagingly, viciously, nicely, sweetly, in what possible way can you deliver a discussion with Mike about what he did this morning that will change what happened this morning? And if you're halfway intelligent, and I think you are if you're listening to us, yeah, the answer is not a dang thing. Folks, there is nothing you can do about the mistakes, or for that matter, the successes your directs, your team, have already engaged in. If you can, in fact, change the past, please stop listening to me. Let's blot out some things in history that were really, really bad. And by the way, you ought not to be working because you have mythical powers. Okay? There's nothing you can do about what's already happened. It's dead and gone. It's in the past. And the vast majority of managers see something that happened in the morning or yesterday and want to have a conversation about what that direct did and what the problem is or what the success is. And that's dumb. The implication, I'm sure what you're saying is, well, the reason I'm talking to him about what happened this morning is I want it different if it's negative feedback, or I want it the same. And I'd say, fine. Then, in fact, your focus is really maybe not on the past. Although if you deliver it with anger or if you deliver with too much praise, then in fact, I would say your focus is on what happened, and you want to reinforce in a positive way or a negative way what they did this morning. And that is not what effective managers do. Now, I'm going to tell you in a minute what effective managers do, but I'll tell you what the typical manager tends to do as a function of just sort of a mental shorthand when they see a direct who's made a mistake. What they do is they go talk to them, and maybe hopefully they don't use the manager tools feedback model, but basically what they do is they go have a discussion. Oh, I got to go talk to him. I got to have a discussion with him. I got to have a chat with somebody about a mistake they made. And probably there's a little bit of an edge to the conversation. Hey, listen, you can't do that anymore. That's not right. And you deliver it in a tone that relies in part on your managerial power. Even when you try to be nice, frankly, you probably have a little bit of an edge. And basically what you're doing is using your rule power and a threat of your rule power to punish them. What you did was wrong and I didn't like it. Or what you did was wrong and wasn't effective. It wasn't helpful. Okay? And you want to point out that what they did was wrong. I would say that's probably true for 80% of the managers that we know. And it's wrong. It's ineffective. You're wasting your time. Okay? And here's why. Because what the direct sees, because let's assume for a moment that we're all smart enough to know that the reason to talk to a direct has something to do with the direct as opposed to you just talking. You delivering feedback is not about you. The feedback model that we're going to share with you is about making it easier for you to have the conversation. But clearly the conversation is about the direct, or more specifically about their behavior. Hopefully we'll focus on behavior. Okay. What the typical manager does when faced with a mistake that a direct made is some form of punishment. And what we know, whether you high D bosses like it or not, is that punishment is grossly ineffective. It just doesn't work. Punishment, according to all the social behavioralists, and when I ask this at conferences, nobody ever gets it right quickly. Punishment causes not a change in behavior, the underlying behavior. The single most frequent behavior that punishment causes is future avoidance of punishment. And for some of you, when you think about it for a minute, you'll realize the really, really cynical problem with that is that people who did something wrong, who are punished, will attempt to avoid punishment in the future. And a big portion of them will do the same thing wrong again and then spend time covering up, hiding it, not communicating about it, so they will avoid punishment because punishment comes from you and not from the behavior. And so therefore, if you don't know about it, they can continue to engage in the old behavior that made sense to them at the time. There's never a time when your directs, at least not that I'm aware of very often, one in a billion maybe, that a direct specifically does something intentionally to screw things up, unless you say you do that, you ought not to accuse your directs of doing that. So they intended to do well. It turned out wrong. You punish them for it. They very likely, not guaranteed, not probably necessarily, but it's quite plausible they will do the same thing again because it made sense to them last time. They're pissed off at you anyway now that you've punished them and they don't like that the use of your power to threaten them with their future financial security, which is what a punishment or a threat or using role power essentially does, because most managers underestimate the size of their sign on their forehead. And what they do is then cover up their mistake. They don't tell you about it. They figure out a way to do it their way.
Yeah, so they spend a lot of time doing something that's ineffective, right? And then they spend more time covering it up. Yeah, double whammy.
Yeah, neither of those things help the company at all. None. They don't, right? Yeah, it's ineffective. Helpful. So we waste. So productivity goes down because they did it wrong the first time. And then productivity goes down further because now they're spending time covering something up, which again, probably isn't helping the bottom line of the productivity of the company. Yeah, that's what punishment causes. If you think that growling at your directs every once in a while is effective, folks, I got to tell you, you're mistaken. And I'm the guy who would know because I've growled. It just doesn't work. It's not as effective. Now, you might say, well, I don't know any other way. Well, okay, that may be either because nobody's ever told you or because you're emotionally insecure enough that you only want to growl. If that's the case, I may not be able to help you. Sorry. You may just think that your job is to growl when you're upset at one of your directs. Fine. Just don't complain to me when you don't make senior leadership roles because people don't think you have the natural inclination to be a great manager leader or a senior executive leader. There are rare exceptions, but generally speaking, that tends to be a disqualifier. Yeah, you want to punish people. It doesn't work. Okay? And it's because the punishment is about what happened in the past, about which the direct can do nothing. Okay. Further, what about the manager who says, well, Mark, okay, I don't want to punish him. I know that. You need to give me words to talk to him about when they make a mistake. But surely everybody likes to be praised when they do something good. False. Completely and utterly false. The data are in regarding praise. Praise also does not work. Praise is as ineffective. Oh, maybe the numbers are slightly different. But fundamentally, praise is not effective. I was about to say praise is as ineffective as punishment. Essentially, they're both really, really grossly ineffective. Now you're saying, wait a minute, Mark, why? I mean, why wouldn't people want to be praised? Well, to be clear, we have a podcast called Yes, Please Praise. And we want you to praise people. But praise is not effective in the sense of it leading to greater productivity in the future. What managers say to me, Mark, is I know I don't want to growl at him. I'm okay with that. In fact, I've never liked it when my boss did demean, so it was part of my Delta file, things I was going to change. I don't yell at my directs. On the other hand, I praise them like crazy because everybody likes praise. Well, the fundamental principle about praise is I want you to know that what you did was good. I'm sorry. The definition of I want you to know that what you did was good is about the past tense. I'm talking about something Mike did at 9 o'clock this morning, and I want him to know it was good. Now, we only have to spend 5 minutes at the conference to lead people by the nose and say, why do you care whether or not it's good? Well, and we get one of two answers, because I want them to feel good. Really bad answer we'll talk about in a second. Or because I want them to do it again. Okay, so why don't you tell them you want them to do it again? Oh, I guess I never thought about that because I assumed they knew that's what I wanted from praise. Well, when it comes to people's performance, we need to be explicit. Explicitness matters when it comes to performance. And further, praise tends to be fairly generic. I'll give you a great example. You sit in on a meeting that one of your directs is running. Maybe she's a manager. Maybe she's not. Maybe she's actually running the meeting for you. She came up with an agenda. She's running the agenda, and the meeting starts on time and finishes on time, and all the agenda items get covered. I got to tell you, for a lot of people in the world, they would say, is that actually possible? So yeah, come to one of our meetings. That's how we run them. And we have just as many meetings as anybody else. Meetings are endemic to professional life, and they're efficient. They start on time and finish on time, and we cover everything in the agenda. It's a practice of effective executives and managers everywhere. So you're sitting in the meeting, and she does a great job. And maybe other people in the meeting, other directs of yours, are her peers or not her peers, or are helpful and so on. And you stand up at the end of the meeting and say, hey, I just want to say great job, everybody. Great meeting. Beth, thanks for your help. Great job. That's praise. Praise is designed to make people feel good. And it's generally at a high level. It's generic. The problem with that is Beth doesn't know what Beth did in order to make for a good meeting. Or put more specifically, it's not clear that you know what she did, what she can reproduce next time.
Yeah, that might be a problem.
Yeah, your vague high-level encomium, it's nice. It makes people feel good. But it can't be repeated. Maybe we don't have the same people in the room. Maybe the agenda's not right. And so you're not being specific about behavior. Great meeting is not behavior. And again, we'll cover the definition of behavior here in a little bit.
I think if she can misinterpret what was great, right? That's the other problem. She could say, oh, it must have been that real nice, pretty slide I put up, which had nothing to do with matter of fact. It's probably the one thing you didn't like. And now she's going to make all her slides pretty, right? So,
yeah. Or it's the big decision they made 25 minutes in. And in fact, what you're talking about is the meeting started on time and finished on time, and it covered all the agenda items. And they think it's a big deal because after 6 months, we finally had broken the logjam of who's going to do X and who's going to do Y on this big project that everybody's been complaining about. Right? No, that's not why you're saying great meeting. You're saying great meeting because of X and Y and Z. But they don't know that because you didn't tell them X and Y and Z. You told them great meeting. It's not reproducible in the future. Now, I know some of you are saying, but Mark, why wouldn't I want my people to feel good? Well, it's a really hard question to answer because, of course, I want your people to feel good. And so I'm glad that you want your people to feel good. Lucky, right? The fact is, though, the data are also in about happy employees. And you have to listen carefully to this. But once I describe it, there's not a person who will disagree with it. The data are in. And the fact is, happy employees are not more productive than unhappy employees.
That surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people go, wait. And I say, okay, well, let me give you the flip side. productive employees are much happier than unproductive employees. And you say, well, wait a minute, happy, productive, unhappy, unproductive. No, that's not the point. The point is, happiness does not drive productivity at all. If you try to make your employees happy, they will begin to see you as someone who dispenses things that make them happy. And in many cases, happiness causes complacency. Not always, but in many cases. We joke often that HR, there are people in HR who are simplistic about the role of HR. And they say, look, if everybody's happy, we're good. Well, no, that's not actually true in any stretch. But what they do is they say, so let's try to make them happy. Let's have a party. And we call these HR people cruise directors because they don't actually really impact the bottom line of the organization. Let's just have parties and make people happy. Happiness through parties is like the worst thing you can do. It costs money. It takes way more time to plan. The HR person who recommends parties loves planning parties and spends hours planning parties as opposed to helping managers become more effective, deliver results and productivity, which is really what HR is there for. So you do not want to try to make your employees happy by praising them, because happy employees do not necessarily become more productive. What we want to do is to make our employees more productive and then let the employees on their own, because they're responsible for their own emotional well-being, to feel happy about their productivity. And productive employees describe themselves as feeling better about their work than people who are not productive. It is productivity that drives happiness and not the other way around. And frankly, if you start thinking that your job is to make your folks happy, you're attempting to take responsibility for something that is the emotional responsibility, the emotional related to the emotional maturity of your directs. You can't do it. They will begin to deny you their happiness in order to get you to give them more, which is an awful thing because it, again, leads to lower productivity. The key to more productivity, and productivity, of course, is based on behavior, and productivity leads to results, because productivity is an individual measure of results, the key to that is to focus on behavior and not on praising it, but on giving it feedback. Okay, I've said all that. Now let's talk about what we recommend for the manager tools manager who focuses not on the past. Remember what I said earlier, Mike makes a mistake at 9 o'clock in the morning. The ineffective manager, the average manager, the typical manager focuses on the mistake or the success and wants to either punish. I'm going to use shorthand. I know not all of you would agree with this phrase, but would either tend to punish the mistake or praise the success. But both of those things are based on what happened this morning. The effective manager knows that the thing to be sure about is the only reason to talk to somebody about the past is because you believe the discussion will lead to the right behaviors in the future. Effective managers focus on the right behavior in the future because there's nothing we're doing now that will affect the past. The only thing you can affect is the future. And therefore, the only reason to talk to your directs about a mistake or a success in the past is to either change the mistake behavior into success behavior or encourage the success behavior again. That's why we say the manager tools feedback model, the purpose of it is to encourage effective future behavior. That is the only reason to talk to your directs about something that's already happened, is to encourage them to be effective in the future. If they were ineffective in the past, you want them to change to effectiveness in the future. If they were effective in the past, you want to say to them, I want more of that in the future. But the fundamental focus is on them doing something right in the future. And here's the beauty. Those of you who are listening carefully, when you heard me give the two examples to Mike of positive feedback and negative feedback, some of you correctly surmised that my tone didn't change at all. I was generally fairly relaxed and comfortable, and I didn't try to be particularly negative or particularly positive. I wasn't particularly demanding, or I didn't have an edge in my voice when I gave him negative feedback, and I wasn't particularly happy and jolly when I gave him positive feedback. I might have been were I doing praise and punishment, but that's not effective. And the reason why I can sound that way is because I'm picturing Mike, whether he made a mistake or got it right in the morning, I'm picturing him doing it right in the afternoon, because that's the purpose of the conversation I'm having with him, is I'm thinking about his future behavior. If I picture Mike doing it right in the future, since I can't do anything about the past, I might as well have an attitude that essentially supports that effective future behavior, even if he's made a mistake in the morning. I can be positive because I'm picturing him doing it right in the afternoon. And all I need him to do is change his behavior. And changing behavior is not that big. Everybody does it all the time. You take a new way to work. You change your habits at the gym. You change your habits going to work in the morning or coming home at night. How you do email or how your desk is organized. There are all kinds of behavioral changes we all go through. Yeah, it's as simple as that. Focus on the future. Picture your direct doing it right in the future. And suddenly a lot of that anger, by the way, will melt away. And by the way, I often joke with people at the conference. And if you literally cannot picture your direct doing it right in the future, you need to get rid of that direct.
Yeah.
Now, that may be a function of you believing that this person's bad when in fact that's just your emotional insecurity of not being mature enough to be a good boss. And in fact, they have the ability, they have the skill, and maybe they don't, maybe they have the will, but not the skill, or they have both, and you're just a negative minded person and you think, God, I hate this person. I just want to get rid of him. But generally speaking, if you've been trying for a long time to try to help someone get better and they won't get better, if you can't picture them changing their behavior after you've had many conversations, it may be time to get a different person. Because it's reasonable for you to expect them to be effective. That's part of your job. You want effectiveness from them. So when we are talking to our direct about something that's already happened, we're not actually talking to them about what already happened. We're talking to them about the future. And our tone is based on them doing it right in the future. And the only thing that's different is if they made a mistake, if they were ineffective in the morning, we're going to ask them to change that behavior. And it's just a behavior change. That's all. And if they did it right in the morning, we're going to ask them to repeat that behavior and be effective again in the afternoon. That's really the fundamental underlying principle and purpose of the manager tools feedback model. And it only took me, what, half an hour, 40 minutes?
That's important. You got to understand all that. Otherwise, you're just going to mouth a bunch of words and you're really not going to understand what you're doing.
Yeah. And folks, don't feel bad if you start doing it and you still feel like you're having a bit of an edge in your voice when you're giving negative feedback. By the way, we recommend in our Trinity rollout cast that you start learning the model by practicing with just positive feedback, because we're going to recommend you learn the phrases we suggest you use, just like for Americans, you learned the Pledge of Allegiance. If I start the phrase, "I pledge allegiance," everybody who's an American, who's an adult American, will say, "To the flag," because they know that's how the pledge goes. If I'm in Australia and I say Aussie, 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 every single Australian in the room will say, oi, oi, oi. They just know it. That's how it goes. We're going to recommend that in order to make it easier for you to talk to your directs about their performance, because the model is for you, not for them. They can handle you giving them feedback. We just need to make it easy for you so you'll actually start talking to them about their performance in the future by alluding to something that happened in the past. And we want to make it so easy because we know when you're talking to them, you have to do two things. You have to think about what they did, and then you have to think about the words you're going to use to wrap around them. What kind of conversation are you going to have? And this is why so many managers delay giving feedback, particularly, of course, negative feedback. And what we want you to do is memorize certain words so that you don't have to think about what you're going to say. The words are going to be the same every time. All you have to do is insert the behaviors. That's all. Super easy.
Exactly. Super easy.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for part one. We'll continue with part two next week. In the meantime, have a great one.